So, as I'm sure most of you know, I'm Levi, and this is my wife, Midori. I'm Pastor Dave's son, and I found out I would be speaking yesterday. Thank you. For the past 2 years, me and Midori have been in Durham, Ontario. That's about 2 hours away from Toronto, for those of you who are curious. We have been doing missionary training with Ethnos Canada. Who here knows what Ethnos Canada is? Okay. They are a missions organization that focuses on presenting the gospel to those with an animistic background. So we've been learning how to best present the gospel to an animist. An animist is a person that believes that everything has a spirit within it, from the trees that you see outside to the rocks in the ground to even the paths that you walk on. Typically, these people live in very remote locations up in the jungles of Brazil or Papua New Guinea. But they believe that these spirits that are in everything that they see have power over their lives. And so, in order to live a fulfilling life, they need to be able to appease these spirits and give them sacrifices and stuff. And that can be pretty overwhelming when there's spirits in everything. So, naturally, they are stressed and live in constant fear that these spirits are going to harm their families or themselves because they haven't made the correct sacrifice or they sacrifice to the wrong spirit, etc. On a lighter note, some of the other things that we learned were like basic electrical and creating an alphabet for a strictly oral people group, so a people group that doesn't have a written language. We learned how to learn their language, create an alphabet for them, and teach them how to read their own language in the hopes that we can translate the Bible for them. The highlight of our training was last summer. We spent 2 weeks building a house out of wooden poles, plastic, and a lot of duct tape. Thank you. We then spent 4 weeks living inside that house up in the woods. That's our house during construction. We lived up there. We did not leave the woods for those 4 weeks, so everything that we wanted to eat or have needed to come up there with us. So lots of shampoo for me. We also had to plumb our own shower, so that was a learning experience. And up there during our 4 weeks, we spent a lot of time with our classmates. We also had individual Bible study time, like time set apart to do nothing but that. Through our training, we've learned that it is our desire to be part of getting the gospel to people who have never heard or had the opportunity to hear about the Bible or God. These are what we call unreached people groups.
Yeah, so I want you to imagine for a second that you are living in one of these remote places. Your thoughts every day are consumed with survival. How are you going to survive? How are you going to get the food that you need? How are you going to help your family not get sick? How are you going to get by every day? How are you going to get your crops to yield? Your ancestors have left you with beliefs about how things need to be done. They left you with chance to do to make your crops grow, and they left you with the exact incantations that you need to say in order for you to have prosperity, and how and what you need to do in order to for your sick to get better. But something seems to be missing. The crops don't always listen to your coaxing words and produce a great harvest. Your family is not prospering, but rather they are barely getting by each day. And the spirits that you are praying to and sacrificing to don't always heal your sick. With these thoughts in mind, we have a short video that we wanted to show you. Hopefully, if it works.
So I know we've shown this video before, but it was during COVID and my dad told me that the audio didn't work. So I'm showing it again. So this is the reality of millions of people in our world today. They've never heard the gospel. They have no concept of who God is or what sin is, and they have no idea that they need to be saved from sin. No one speaks their language. No one who knows Christ speaks their language. Obviously they don't have churches or Bibles. And so apart from someone who knows Christ going to them to teach them about him, they have no way of hearing. This is why we want to give our lives to make it possible for the gospel to get to these people groups.
So we're going to need a volunteer to come up here and join us. And then in a little bit, we'll need a couple more. So is there somebody out there who wouldn't mind giving us a hand with an illustration? If you don't come up voluntarily, we'll have voluntold you. Awesome. Thanks, Tyler. Okay. You can stand right there.
Everyone can see Tyler.
All right. Okay, so this is our missionary, Tyler. And he's super excited about taking the gospel to the unreached. And he's really excited about doing Bible teaching. And part of Bible teaching is translating. But the people group that he's going to are very remote. They live in the mountains, and it's about an 8-hour hike from the mission base where Tyler landed. After hiking into the village, he spends a couple of days getting himself settled, and then he has to hike back out into the city about 8 hours to buy supplies that he'll need for the month. While in the city, there is a place for Tyler to stay, but there isn't anybody there to manage the guest house, so it hasn't been cleaned and had any upkeep done since the last time he was there. So he takes a couple of days to make it livable and do the necessary maintenance on the mission vehicle he will use while buying his supplies. What would make these 8-hour trips through the mountains a lot easier would be a pilot who could make that 8-hour hike into a 15-minute helicopter ride. But before heading back into the village, Tyler has some bookkeeping that he needs to do to ensure that he's keeping a good account of the finances that have been entrusted to him and make sure that his paperwork is up to date so he can stay in the country. Once he makes his way back to the village, he is finally able to start building relationships. However, as you can see, there's no way that Tyler can manage to do all of these things by himself.
I'm a little overwhelmed there.
Is there anybody who'd be willing to come and help Tyler carry some of these boxes?
Matthew?
Not to mention that if Tyler were to get sick or hurt, there wouldn't be anybody to fill this position for him. However, when there is more people who are willing to take on some of these roles for him, people who can manage the guest house and do the maintenance and help him with his bookkeeping and be the pilot to fly him in, then Tyler can spend more of his time focusing on what he is really there to do, which is teach the people about Jesus and their need for him. Thank you. That's all. Yeah, you can just put him down. Thank you.
So it is our desire to be part of the team who are enabling those who are preaching to stay in the remote locations so that they can more effectively teach the gospel and keep their focus on that. This is what we call a support role. We just want to be a blessing and encouragement to those on the ground so that they can effectively do their jobs. We love the idea of working behind the scenes. It's been a passion of ours since I was working up at Valley View doing SDP. I love working behind the scenes. And in this case, we'll be doing it to make it possible for those who are preaching the gospel to those who have never had the chance before. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he left us with his disciples with a final command. found in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority on heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We believe this is still God's desire, that all nations be taught who Jesus is and the abundant life he purchased for them, both now and for eternity.
I'm going to take a minute to tell you guys a little story. The story goes like this. Joe grabbed the leash and went out. Now, you really haven't learned anything, and you don't really have any understanding from what I've just said. And you're probably left with more questions than answers. Who is Joe? Why does he have a leash, and where is he going? If instead I were to say, one day a man named Joe decided to take his dog Fido for a walk. They walked around the park near his house and sat by the duck pond for a few minutes. On the way home, Joe remembered that he needed to grab some dog food, so he stopped by the local pet store. While in the pet store, Fido caught sight of the neighbor cat, and he pulled free of Joe's hand, chasing the cat all over the store, knocking things off the shelf and making a huge mess. Finally, Joe caught up to Fido, and Joe grabbed the leash and went out, forgetting completely about the dog food. This is sort of a silly story, but I think sometimes we try to do this with the most important story ever told. We try to tell people, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." However, for those who have no concept of God and don't know anything about who he is, this really leaves more questions than answers. Who is God? Well, what does it mean by the world? Is that like this planet that we live on? This God has a son. Does that mean that he has a wife? Why would I want to live forever in this terrible place where I have to fight every day to survive? One of the things we believe is important is to lay a foundation, teaching through the whole story of redemption, the way it was given to us by God from start to finish. This helps people gain an understanding of who God is, their desperate need for him to save them from their sinful state, who God's son is, and that he is the only one who can provide a way for them to come back into right relationship with God, and who they are once they accept Christ's payment on behalf of them. This process takes a long time, and it's a lot of work, and that's why we want to help missionaries in remote places be able to stay and keep their focus there as much as possible.
A study was done a few years ago on the stress levels of missionaries. According to the research, people with a score above 200 will likely have serious long-term health problems within 2 years. Missionaries in their first term were seen to have scores peaking at around 900, so a little bit more than 200 there, while veteran missionaries maintained scores of 600 and above year after year. Part of our role as support workers would be to help relieve some of this stress.
So during the month of June, Levi and I had the opportunity to take a trip to the Philippines. While we were there, we were able to connect with many of the missionaries who are currently on that field, and we were able to talk to them about what life is like serving on the field and what some of their needs are. We were able to visit the bases that Ethnos Canada has there and see how those are run as well. While we were there, we got to visit one of the remote villages where a new church has recently been planted just in the last couple of years. And it was right now they're currently working on translating the Bible into their language. And it was really cool getting to see believers who a few short years ago had no idea that they were lost and that they needed salvation. And now they know who God is, and they're able to worship him in their own language. One of the things that we had hoped while we were going to the Philippines is that that's where the Lord would have us to serve him. But as we are right now, we're not 100% sure where we will be going.
Paul writes in Romans, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone goes and tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. This verse brings out the need for the gospel to be taken to those who do not yet know. They need to hear in order to believe. In order for them to hear, someone needs to go. And in order for someone to go, they need a team of people behind them sending them. There's a role for every believer to play in getting the gospel to the unreached. If you would like to hear more about our heart and desire for the nations, we would love to get together with you. We'll be around after the service. I know I don't take as long to talk as my dad. yeah. Does anyone have any questions? If not, we can... Oh, yeah. Currently, I speak one language. So the way Ethnos works is we have people in the Philippines, in Papua New Guinea, in Brazil, all over the place. And when you decide to go to a field, for example, the Philippines, we would go there and we would spend about a year or two learning the language and culture of the national language. So in the Philippines, it would be Tagalog, so that you can function if you're in the tribe and you need to come out for like a medical reason. It makes it a lot easier if you can talk to the doctor. So that you need to get like a certain base level of understanding of the national language and culture. And then if you're going into a tribe, you would move into a tribe and do repeat that process with their tribal language, which is often pretty different. But learning the national language is still important because there's a lot of tribal believers who will speak just the national language, and so or they'll know some of the national language, and so it'll be easier to learn their language if you have some common language in there. Yes. That is a really good question. I wish I knew the answer. It was, how long are you going to be in Manitoba? Right now, we need to figure out where we're going and then raise support, get our visas, and then we can go overseas. We've done everything else. It's just we're in that last final push. We're hoping to be overseas by 2024, or in 2024. Yes, Julie?
You were saying that you were actually going to be assisting the missionaries in their role.
Correct.
So what areas are you thinking that you're going to be assisting them?
We would like, obviously we'll work wherever we're needed. Our desire would to be to work in the guest house, which is kind of like a hotel for missionaries. It gives them a place to stay when they're either first coming to the field or coming out of the tribe. Gives them a place to rest, fill out paperwork, just get a break from the tribal people, because as we learned in our training, if you are around, they will be too. They will be at your side constantly asking you for food or for medical help or for anything that they can get.
Or like peeking in your window watching you eat supper.
Yeah, while we were in the tribe, there was probably a dozen people standing outside the window staring in at you, and it can be draining, and so giving people a little break every now and then would be our goal, our desire. Yes, Steve? Yeah, we will need to raise funds. Depending on the field that we go to, will depend on how much we need to raise. But with Ethnos Canada, we'll need to raise a certain amount every month so that we can continue to live in a different country. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. If you have more questions, you can come and find us afterwards. We'll take our boxes and go.